What is Jesus asking of us today? I mean, if we believe that Jesus is the Word made flesh who dwelt among us, then it was Jesus who spoke to us through each of the readers today and our cantor. So what was Jesus asking of you and of me? Another interesting question, a very Jesuit question during this 500th anniversary that set the Jesuits on fire. And what is our response? What is Jesus asking of us? And what is our response? Well, if we look at the first reading, the responsorial in the Gospel, clearly the overarching theme is prayer. And Jesus teaches the disciples the Lord's Prayer. Now, it sounds different, doesn't it? It's not the version we're familiar with. We pray out of Matthew's Gospel. Why is Luke's different? We really don't know. But here's another theme in Luke. Maybe Luke is trying to tell us, don't get so hung up on the words. The words aren't magical. Don't get so hung up on external piety. When we come to pray, we come with an open heart, right? An open disposition, deep faith. That's what our second reading is talking about today. We approach with deep faith, a faith rooted in our baptism, a baptism rooted in the new covenant. So today, filled with that enthusiasm, the disciples come to Jesus and say, teach us how to pray like you pray. They wanted to pray intimately like Jesus prays to God. And so Jesus says, when you pray, say, Father. Now that's a very good place to start, isn't it? Huh? But I don't think it's just for our sake that we learn how to pray. We can pray for other people. I'll give you an example. I want everyone to look around. Come on, look around all over the church. Look at all those missing or empty places. Where is everybody? Huh? I mean, everybody can't be on vacation. Some of these pews got empty well before the pandemic, didn't they? Maybe there were some people who were so upset about the clergy sex abuse crisis that they use that as an excuse to turn their back on the church. Or maybe they got so upset with the church with the way we handled COVID that they use that as an excuse to turn their back on church. Or maybe they blame the church for Roe versus Wade, so they use that as an excuse to turn their back on church. Or maybe one morning they woke up and they said, I'm spiritual. I don't want organized religion. Oh my gosh, do not get me started. That's a homily for another day, huh? But they leave a house of spirituality to look for spirituality out there somewhere. Or maybe they're so scientific or so logic-minded that they dismiss our faith. A superstition and myth. How do we reach out to all those people who are missing from our church? Well, the readings today suggest that we might start with prayer, right? Does prayer work? Oh, you better believe it works, right? If we had time, I could grab a microphone, we'd go all around the church and asking everybody for examples of prayer, and we would undoubtedly get dozens and dozens and dozens of examples of how prayer has worked in each of our lives and the lives of our families. Let's unpack one example of prayer that affects our entire parish community. Father Patrick is our fifth pastor. So we're going to go back in time for our second pastor. The property looked a little different back then. And we were really locked. We had a great need for meeting space and classroom space. So our pastor then, Father Edwin, got a group of people together and began to pray that God would help us solve our facilities problem. And that became a constant prayer for him, really until the time he left us. Very persistent prayer. Not long after he began those prayers, a couple who owned a business down on 35 bought the land adjacent to St. John Vianney and developed it for their two businesses, a church and a cabinet shop. We know those buildings today as the PAC, the Vianney Center, and St. Francis House. Okay, let's fast forward to the third pastor, Father Michael. The family outgrew the business, and they really couldn't expand over there on that property. So they walk down to the rectory and knock on the door, and they ask Father Michael, would you like to buy this property? He came and toured the facility. Fast forward a little bit, with the help of our very generous bishop, we were able to buy that land. And a little bit later, we were able to push this road all the way through and put that little parking lot in to tie the two properties together. Now, the PAC back then was a cabinet shop, so it wasn't a perfect PAC yet. Right? It had a cement floor, garage door bays, no air conditioning, but it was a start. A little bit later, someone donated an air conditioning system. And now they were cooking, huh? Okay, let's fast forward to our fourth pastor. The city annexes that property. And now we've got to bring the PAC up to code. And again, we turn to our very generous and supportive bishop, and with his help, not only do we bring it up to code, but we have a punch list of things we want to do. Put in a new floor, make the walls look nice, put in some new restrooms, right? And then COVID happened, and everything stopped. So then comes our fifth pastor, Father Patrick, and he's able to push that project through to completion just in time for faith formation to begin a year ago, September. Every time we park in this little parking lot, or we go down to the PAC or the Vianney Center or St. Francis, we are walking in the answer to a prayer. That's kind of cool, isn't it? And it kind of tracks with the gospel delay. Let's talk about that. It didn't come instantaneously. The prayers were persistent. Kind of like that example in the gospel. Jesus says, just like that annoying neighbor who knocks on your door in the middle of the night and needs something, they're going to get what they want out of their persistence. So it started with persistence. Notice, too, that the answer wasn't a free gift. It was really more an opportunity that the parish had to recognize and jump on. Right? They had to put some skin in the game to realize this blessing. And notice, too, that the answer to our prayer wasn't shake and bake ready. It has slowly unfolded over the course of four pastors. And you know what? We didn't get everything on the punch list done that we wanted to because we ran out of money. So God only knows how that blessing, how that answer to a prayer will continue to unfold over the life of our parish over the next 5 or 10 years. I wonder how many times in our lives we've missed out on the answer to a prayer because it didn't fit our idea of the answer. We couldn't control it from start to finish. It wasn't part of our project plan. It didn't look like what we wanted. That's something to think about, isn't it? One of the ways we might reach out to people who've left the parish is through prayer. Now, some of these friends and family, they might start to spin out of control one day. Or they might become very anxious because of all the nonsense going on in our world. And you might suggest to them, hey, prayer's worked in my life. Here's an example from my life, and it's got to be a personal story. There's nothing more powerful than a personal example of prayer. And say, here's how it's worked for me. Maybe you give it a try too. And so you might suggest to them, go find a quiet place in your home. Lay down your desire to control everything. Suspend your disbelief. Say in your heart, I believe. And then look to heaven and say, Father. And if they don't know what to say, suggest and just pray the Lord's Prayer. That is a good place to start, huh? Homework! Nourished by the Word of God that we just heard proclaimed, and the Eucharist that we are about to share, I ask you to do one thing, just one thing, every day for the next 6 days. I want you to picture someone who's left the parish. And if you're new to the parish, then picture some other family or friend who's left the church. Call their image to mind and pray to God for their conversion, that they come back to the church. Just like St. Bernadette at Lourdes, who prayed every day for the conversion of souls, surely we can pray just 6 days for the conversion of our family and friends who've left the parish. I think today Jesus is asking us to pray. And perhaps our response to that request can be to pray for those who've left our community. Do you got it? Do you get it? Are you going to do it? Good. May each of us come to know the grace and peace of our Lord Jesus Christ.